this sloka Srila Gurudev composed for the opening of the Gangadhar Sadashiva Mandir, and it's there in Navadvip Govindakunda. It's on the wall next to the Shiva Lingam, and it says, Devadi Deva Mahibhushanam Indukasham Panchananam Pashupatim Baradam Prasannam Gangadharam Pranatapalaka Pranatapalakam Ashutosham Vande Sadashiva Hari Priya Chandramolim. Devadi Devam, he's the chief of the devatas. Remember, he is a so-called guna avatar, but at least two of the guna avatars are more or less in disguise, Shiva and Vishnu. They're doing this function, but their position is unique. Brahma is legitimately a jiva most of the time. It's mentioned in the Bhagavatam when someone has executed their swadharma and the varnashram system for 100 births perfectly, you qualify for the position of Brahma, which Guru Maharaj sometimes describes as officer class jivas. Right? There's jiva, officer class jiva. Right? But because we hear Balaram, Mahasankarshan, the Chaturvyuha, Vasudeva Sankarshan, Pradyumna Aniruddha, the second quadruple of Vasudeva Sankarshan, Pradyumna Aniruddha, then Purusha avatars, Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshai Vishnu, Kiradakshai Vishnu, then guna avatars. So there are avatars. Well, that means some divine empowerment, but Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. So Vishnu's not actually sattvagun. He predominates over sattvagun. But he's not a sattvagun. Right? Shiva predominates over tamagun. He's not tamagunish by nature, quality, or anything. But it's a service, seva. Some of these services are more difficult to understand. And his position is. So it says, Devadi Devam, Ahibhushanam, means he's decorated. We see he always has a garland of snakes. But really, these are not ordinary snakes. By extension, we take it to be Ananta. Right? There's some connection between Ananta and Shiva. Indukasham means his body like moonlight. That's his color. Like, when you look at that type of white, not just white, but brilliant, illuminating. Right, it's very beautiful. Indukasham. So he has a form like moonlight. Panchananam, here, five-headed. Like we used to sing a long time ago. I don't know where it came from, but we used to sing this little, maybe we heard from Achyutananda. Brahma Bole Chaturmukhe Krishna Krishna Hare Hare Mahadeva Panchamukhe Rama Rama Hare Hare. So it's saying Brahma with his forehead, saying, you know, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, and Mahadeva with his five heads, went Rama Rama Hare Hare. Because he is known for taking Ram Nam. Like Maya Devi mentions that when the Haridas Thakur, you know, previously I got Ram Nam from my Lord Mahadeva, but now you're giving Krishna Nam. Pashupatim, his weapon, the Pashupatim. Varadam Prasannam, he gives boons. We know when Narada is praising Shiva in the Brihad Bhagavatamritam, because Brahma saying, I'm so busy with this universe, can my guna avatar seva, it's overwhelming. I don't have time for all this spiritual culture. But Mahadev, he doesn't have a care in the world, neither a stitch. Right? He's generally portrayed naked, and we're told what? Covered in ashes from what? The crematorium. He seems to assemble all these, the most polluted, most objectionable things as his paraphernalia. Like one of his names also, Bhutanath, the Lord of the Boots. Bhut means ghosts. Right? He's not like that, but he is their Lord. And just all the things that seem are apparently objectionable or of the lower nature, being the Lord of Tamagun. But it's his, the Vaishnava is always concealing their position. So if someone thinks any less of him, he can tolerate that. Krishna cannot tolerate it. It's interesting also in the Brihad Bhagavatamritam. Remember, this is a work where Sanatana Goswami is giving his own commentary. That's interesting. Usually someone's commenting on someone else's work. Here, the Brihad Bhagavatamritam Tika is of Sanatana Goswami and his own work, because we can see, or at times, it demands explanation. There are some things that are, we might get, not that he's written anything incorrectly or improper, but we might get the wrong idea without the explanation. So it's interesting, generally, the Sri Shivasya Vishnur Sloka from the Padma Purana is told at the time of the 10 offenses. And is generally rendered as, don't think that the gods are equal to Krishna. Right? But it's interesting here, Sanatana Goswami says, and his explanation, he says, if you think of Shiva as anything less than the Lord, that is Namaparad. He's taking it in another direction. And if we say, well, how do we adjust this? If Guru Maharaj says, Bhog Shiv, Tyag Shiv, Bhakta Shiv. Bhog Shiv, what is it? Mayam tu Prakriti Vidya, Mayinam tu Maheshwaram, the master of Maya. Right? But servant of Vishnu. But when he's in the master of Maya role, right? Bhog Shiv, Tyag Shiv, like in Brihad Bhagavatamritam, in the above Brahmaloka, below Vaikuntha, that's Shiva Loka. But what Gurudev is indicating here, who is he praising? Sadashiva. He went out of his way to name this the Gangadhar Sadashiva Mandir, because someone, they might be confused, right? Or who have lesser understanding of Shiva Tattva. As Guru Maharaj once said, that there are certain tattvas that are repeatedly perplexing to understand. Guru Tattva, Dham Tattva, Nam Tattva, Jiva Tattva, and Shiva Tattva. 1 minute you kind of think, oh, you have an understanding, you hear something, oh, have to reconsider again. It's always, and Shiva Tattva and Jiva Tattva, there's some connection there. Sometimes Shiva is told to be the sum total of all jivas. And we hear why one place Advaita Acharya told to be Mahavishnu's avatar, another place told to be Sadashiva avatar. We say, oh, Mahavishnu and Sada, they have some connection. Right? Vishnu lying in the Karna Dakshai ocean, the causal ocean. and yoga nidra, eyes half closed, and his peripheral glance toward Maya, because he can have no direct contact. Vishnu tattva does not interact in that way. So only, it shows the very slightest. He's half asleep and yoga nidra, and from the peripheral glance, not even directly, peripheral glance toward Maya, and what the glance, this is the world, Vaikunthir Prithivyadi Sakala Chinmoy, where everything is constituted of spiritual substance, of Chinmoy. When that, his glance personifies as Shambhu, and within Shambhu are all the jivas. So Shiva can be considered the sum total of all jivas as well. Within him, and what does Shambhu do? Impregnates all these jivas into the womb of Prakriti. And once Gurudev said, as this is described in the beginning of the Brahma Sangita, he said, they can use Brahma Sangita for sex education for children. Because, you know, it's Shiva, like, so it's wholesome from one point of view. And even in that passage and the commentaries, which are attributed to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Jiva Goswami, although it's prepared by disciples of Saraswati Thakur, they say, there's no other way to describe this. They're saying, if someone thinks, oh, why have you given this sort of description? They're saying, this is the description. There's no other way it would be, give you a false impression to give another sort of description. So he impregnates these jivas into the womb of Prakriti. It's actually an extraordinary thing. Right? And then they're supplied all their bodies and all that from there. So anyway, that Shiva, right? Oh, I'm saying the boons. Oh, Brahma praising Shiva. Oh, this is the point I was going to make. So when Narada goes to Shiva and he's praising him, and he's saying things like, he's forever relishing the taste of the lotus feet of Krishna. You know, he and his wife, they can give liberation, they can give devotion, actually, to very rarely to some special qualified souls. But Narada lavishing so much praise upon Shiva, he's deflecting and deferring, saying, no, like, I have these disciples. Remember, I am the guna avatar for the mode of ignorance. I have these disciples who I'm easily pleased. They do some sacrifice to me, chant some mantras sincerely from their own relative position. Then I give them some boon. And that boon, in the fulfillment of that boon I've given them, it brings me in collision with Vishnu or Krishna. That's not good. Like the, and sometimes the Lord has to come and save him, like Brikasura. Remember, he was cutting his own flesh and offering it in to the sacrificial fire. He is literally, you know, Atmani Vedanam. He didn't get it exactly, the memo about Atman offering your spiritual, your inner self. He's like cutting his body and tossing in the fire, chanting mantras. Shiva comes out, you know, what? And he wants that boon that whoever he will touch, their head will explode. Shiva's saying, I have these kind of, this is my situation. I have these type of disciples. And then, so he's given that boon, and then what does he do? He starts going towards Shiva. He wants to touch his head. And Shiva's running, and they're going running through the universe, different layers of, you know, reality, until at last they come upon Vishnu, who buys some time for Shiva, and he's very charming, and he meets this Brikasura, and they explain the whole situation. And Brikasura says, you know, Shiva, he could be not 100% reliable. So how do you even know that it works. Have you tried it? He said, well, no, I haven't tried it yet. Well, then you should, why don't you try it first to make sure it works? Oh, good idea. Why don't you try it on your own head? So he goes, oh, all right. <You know>? So Shiva was saying, I have these kind of followers. So he's known as Ashutosh. Ashu, Toshum. Ashu means quickly, easily. Toshum, pleased. And then this kind of result is coming. Gangadharam. That we will see in some places Ramachandra worshipping Shiva. Parasuram worshipping Shiva. So some will make the case. They'll say, don't you see? Look, you say Ramachandra is Vishnu Tattva and all these things, and don't you see Ramachandra worshipping Shiva? Or Parasuram, you say he is minimally a Shaktivesh avatar, or he's an avatar, he's one of the Das avatars, and he's worshipping Shiva. So Shiva's in the superior position. But there's some qualification why. Ramachandra, in his pastimes as a householder, within that context of Vedic culture, he's showing how to perfectly execute Grihastha Dharma and Rajdharma and such things. So when Guru Maharaj was in South India, because that's where there's particularly a lot of Shiva worship and Shiva temples, inevitably this sort of thing comes. You know, who of these three gods, who's the most superior? Or are they all equal, or how should we understand? So as given by Gurudev here, he's saying, who is the Shiva that we are worshipping? Gangadhara. Gangadhar means he's carrying the Ganga on his head. What is the Ganga? It is variously how we take it. Ultimately, we'll say it's the foot water from Krishna, Vishnu or Krishna, as you may take it. So it means he's, because various descriptions are there, but like one in the Vaman avatar, when he did the second step, he poked a hole in the universal shell. Right? So through that, the Ganges started descending. The Ganga started coming. So what do we? Why do we say Gangadhar? Shiva, the impact would be devastating. So Shiva catches the Ganga in his hair, and that softens her impact in this world. So whenever we see the painting of Shiva, you see the Ganga, right, in his hair. So he's carrying, in essence, the foot bath of Krishna on his head. That means worshipable. Right. So Gurudev is saying, he's Gangadhar, that's Shiva, and which one? Sadashiva. Not Bhogshiv or even Tyagshiv, but Bhaktashiv, Sadashiva. Sada means 100% pure. There's a famous sloka in the Bhagavatam. When Shiva did not go to the Dakka or Daksha Yajna, there was some how did it happen? Oh, that somehow Shiva, he's always absorbed in his deep meditation. And in the presence of his wife's father, the father-in-law, he didn't show respect to him. So that made Dukkha very angry. He thought it was, what's the word? Yeah, but there's a word like with an O, or when you don't show proper respect. No, it starts, it's like Ab something. Anyway, I can't say that. My brain's not functioning properly. In means when you don't show, it's the more precise word of not showing respect to a suit. It'll come later if Shiva is merciful to us or Saraswati. The later there's a Daksha arranges this yajna, and they're inviting everybody to come, and you know, the Shivas, Mr. and Mrs. Shiva, don't get an invitation. And Sati and Mahadev. You know, and this is disturbing his wife. She wants to go. It's her father. And there's a very famous verse that appears there. It begins with Sattvam Vishuddham. Sattvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shabditam. Shiva starts explaining. He's saying, I can't withdraw my head from the lotus feet of Krishna. I'm madly intoxicated by the lotus feet of Krishna. And I can't pull my head away from there for a moment. So it was not disrespect that I showed to your father, but I was totally unaware because I'm totally absorbed in this upper world, sattvam, vishuddha sattva. That was one point I wanted to make. Not just sattva, but vishuddha sattva. And Srila Saraswati Thakur, in referencing this and his purport in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, in the section glorifying Nityananda Prabhu, he's saying this, and the word sattva and vishuddha sattva, he gives different interpretations according to different acharyas. He says, but Srila Jiva Goswami says, it means someone is completely absorbed in the Ladini Shakti. Jiva Goswami just takes it to a very high plane. So he's saying, I'm lost in that plane, and so if I'm unaware of what's going on here, forgive me. But it's not my purpose to be offensive or disrespectful. And we know still she goes, and there's a disastrous result, right? Arousing Mahadev's ire, his anger. Because when she goes there, the disrespect that's shown towards her Lord and Master Shiva, Sati self-immolates by her mystic yogic power, Mahadev comes and is furious. You know, he beheads Dukkha, mercifully puts a goat head on him so that something. You know, but and with and a rage, he taking the form of Sati everywhere, and they say different parts fall in different places in the world, and to this day there's also temples established there. But in a happier context, we should say that Parvati asked Shiva, what is the best type of worship? And his response is, Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnu Aradhanam Param. Saying, of all the types of worship there are, the best is Vishnu Aradhanam. And she feels a little despondent, that, but I'm worshiping you. You are my worshipable Lord. So I'm not doing the highest worship? Is there some fault in my system? And he said, no. Tasmat parataram devi, but my dear devi, tadiyanam samarjanam. Even higher than that is the worship of who is most dear to the Lord. And then she said, oh, then I'm very happy. You, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu, you're the greatest devotee, you're so dear to the Lord, and I'm worshiping you, then everything is fine. Tadiya means what is in connection with him. So it's interpreted to mean the devotee, but also his divine paraphernalia, etc. So Narada is praising Shiva, saying, Brahma himself sent me to see you, saying how vastly superior you are to him, that you're beyond the influence of the mundane. And Shiva, as each devotee deflects the praise and praises another devotee, he's saying, no, I'm such a despicable person. I wanted to be greater than my Lord. That's the kind of man I am. Not this praise is inappropriate in my direction. I wanted to be greater than my Lord. What kind of person is that? And there, Narada and Sanatana Goswami, the explanation is given. We have to examine very carefully these words of Shiva. And this is, as a side point, how misconceptions are amplified. So Sanatana Goswami, Narada, they reveal and say, what is the, we can't accept that what you're saying is a disqualification. It's only further evidence of your incomparable qualities and qualification. Why? Because what is there a position that's greater than the Lord? Yes, the devotee. So what you're telling us in a roundabout way, indirectly, is your only aspiration is to be a servant of the Lord, to be his devotee. I mean, so each time this kind of exchange takes place between Narada and those whom he's trying to praise, and also Parvati, she's overhearing these conversations and wants to express something from her position. But we see that in the case of Mahadev, that all the really difficult seva is given to him. The things, in one sense, that no one would volunteer for. Right? Sometimes there's something very difficult to be done, and they go, are there any volunteers? So, especially in the military, they say, don't ever volunteer. It's usually not something good. So, he's able, being a unique tattva, right? What is it? And the Brahma Sangita described that Vishnu as milk, Shiva would be like yogurt. Milk can transform into yogurt. Yogurt cannot transform back into milk. So Shiva Tattva is a very unique position, and that allows him to have contact with Maya, but not being under the influence of Maya, rather the master of Maya. So from the beginning, that seva, then what do we see? Presiding over Tamagun, then Mayavaram Ashachastram Pritchnam Bodhamuchite Mayaiva Kalpitam Devi Tadiyan Kalo Brahmana Rupina. That in the Kali Yuga he appears as Shankaracharya and he preaches Mayavad, which Mahaprabhu himself says, Mayavadi Bhasya Shunile Hoy Sarvanash. If you hear Mayavadi philosophy, you'll be ruined. It's poison for the soul. He has to come and do that. So always some difficult, undesirable seva, but seva nonetheless. As Guru Maharaj pointed out in the pastimes of Jesus, that Judas, Guru Maharaj approaches it this way, his service is to betray. So he's saying, who could be entrusted with that? No one will want to do that, to play that role. And he says, when Christ is going up the, carrying the cross up to Mount Calvary, he stops and makes eye contact with Judas. And after the eye contact, Judas goes off and hangs himself. So Gormer said, what was in that look? He said, what was in that look? That Christ is conveying to him, forgive me for using you this way. Your name will be black for all history. Right? To this day, no one, I'm sure there's somebody on the internet, but no one names their child Judas. So he's saying, your name will be black for all time to come. So please forgive me for doing this to you, for using you this way, but it was necessary for my pastimes. And Gormer said, and Judas saying, such compassion. He's saying, forgive him. I should forgive him. Then he goes off and hangs himself. So Gormer's conclusion, he said, who could be entrusted with this type of service except some confidential devotee? I mean, it's Gormer's generous portrayal of this. But the point is there. I'm not saying Shiva's like Judas. I'm saying that he has to do undesirable seva. Sometimes Gormer said, he has to lead the opposition, that kind of thing. But it is his service nonetheless. So and we're told also that Srila Gurudev, his mother and father, they're praying for a son, they're praying to Mahadev Shiva for a son. What is the name of that deity? Buru Raj? Right, means he's like under the earth. Old. Oh, that's old. All right, there's another one who's in the earth, right?
Well, he's in the earth.
Oh, but Buru means old. Very old. Yes. So they're praying to Shiva, please grant us a son. And the inspiration came that, yes, but your son, at the age of 17, will have to take sannyas. So they thought, there's something that's current in the Bengal called Shiva sannyas, where these teenage boys, they take sannyas for like a fortnight. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So they're thinking, he'll do that Shiva, maybe it's a month maximum. I think it's more like a fortnight. So they're thinking, yes, no problem. But Gurudev once said, they did not know it would be forever. And Gurumar said, and I thought because he has some mystic power that Shiva sent one of his own men. So sometimes they're telling, the son of Shiva. And we know he has such a genuine appreciation for Mahadev in many different ways. So, and he, when Guru Maharaj was very ill, Gurudev was bathing. And as he was bathing, he was praying to Shiva to reveal what is the medicine that will save Guru Maharaj. And he heard in his meditation, Kalifas. And at the time, he had no idea what this was. So he went around to the pharmacist and said, there's some medicine called Kalifas? He said, oh, that is not allopathic, that is homeopathic medicine. And they sent him, he said, is there a medicine called Kalifas? Yes, I have here. And you'll see on when Guru Maharaj is speaking, Rama Didi, his sister, she comes with a little glass of the Kalifas, gives it to Guru Maharaj, he takes that, and it would extended the life of Srila Guru Maharaj. So in many ways, he has some special connection there. And one thing, Maharaj can speak something, but I wanted to also say, this is the disappearance day of our dear and beloved and divine godbrother, Shripad Yudhamanyu Prabhu, Seva Vikram, who is an exalted disciple of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and among the first to come to the lotus feet of Srila Guru Maharaj, along with his wife, divine wife, Srimati Jivana Devi Dasi. They came when we started preaching, so Center for Exclusively Preaching the Glories of Srila Guru Maharaj in the Western world. They were the first to come and give full service, financial backing, everything to begin this and to arrange for the publishing of the books of Srila Guru Maharaj and the building for, like, Sevak Bhavan, Paschatya Bhavan, the expanding service necessity of Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat. It's one thing to convert so many to come and join, then they have to have a place to go. So he would fund Srila Gurudev, and then Srila Gurudev would make first the Sevak Bhavan, then it becomes Paschatya Bhavan, the preacher's building, and different place, and the Mat began to expand rapidly and extensively. But even before that, when I made a transcription of Srila Guru Maharaj that was very important, and all the devotees, senior devotees, needed to hear this and read this. But the climate at the time was such that my hands were tied in terms of distributing it. I could only give it to a select group. And then I thought, like, how is this good? Everyone needs to read this, but I can't do that right now. And I was in Los Angeles, you know, thinking, how can this possibly be done, you know? And then there was a so-called temple president's meeting where everybody came, and Yudhamanya Prabhu, he was the president of the Seattle temple, he flew down to Los Angeles, and he came into my room, and he always had this Halliburton briefcase. And he opened it up, and that transcript I had, he had like 100 copies of it. And he went out in the street and made sure that everyone got one. So from the, talking about doing, you know, difficult seva, he's like a cutting edge devotee who always couldn't just relax into, congenial household life. He always had to go to the front, you know, to what we call avant-garde, the cutting edge, the leading edge of the advance, where there's the most risk involved. He later took it to South Africa, then he came to be with us in San Jose, organized the collection and funding for the book publication, then built the Mat up. Then he, Jivana Janardhan Maharaj, they established the Soquel Temple. He told me once, he said, I can't just live in San Jose and make halava once a week. At the time, I can't do that. I gotta go, you know. And we were having this discussion in Navadvip. And I said, well, Gurudev told me to work with Srila Avadhut Maharaj, and we have this long-term relationship that's, you know, very good for me. Avadhut Maharaj gives me full preaching facility, but our focus has been in Russian-speaking countries, and we didn't have this. Yeah, I said, but if I was going to go to a new place, I said, I would go to China. He said, yeah, I've been thinking about that. I said, that's what I would do. I would go to China. And he had a car waiting to take him to Calcutta. This is in Navadvip. And Gurudev's like, you know, what, 5 meters. We're having this discussion on the side. And the car, like the engine's running. They're waiting for him to, like, Dandavats, go downstairs. And he said, Ask Maharaj. And I said, you know, Srila Gurudev, Yudhamanya Prabhu is thinking, would it please you if he would go to China and start preaching there? And Gurudev like, yes. He gave his blessing, his sanction. That's all he needed to know. Many times Gurudev would say, Yudhamanya Prabhu, only ask one question. Do you want this or not? He doesn't do a big introduction about what it is or a big aftershock. He just went, do you want this or not? Do you want me to do this or not? If you say yes, then I give my full energy to doing that. If you say no, I forget that I ever brought it up. Repeatedly, Guru Maharaj would mention that about him, that type of, you know, exclusive devotion and willingness to totally 100% dedicate himself to the order of Guru, sacrifice his life on the altar of the order of Sri Guru. And he did that, and we know, and we saw, you can see some of the evidence last year when all the devotees came, and you see 50, 60 devotees show up to show their appreciation, and all people that were initiated by him, either directly or indirectly. Really, he is their guru for practical purposes. And they revere him as such, and rightfully so. He gave them Krishna consciousness, and he took... So there's Krishna consciousness that entered China before, but he took Guru Maharaj and Gurudev to China. Chaitanya Saraswati, their conception, he took to China. And to this day, you know, some of the stalwart Chinese devotees they have, they go all the way back to his initial preaching, where he went, you know, disguised as a mild-mannered English teacher. Agent. Yeah, and then brought the people over to his place and introduced them to Radha and Krishna and Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Guru Maharaj, Gurudev, Prabhupada, everything. And when he was in South Africa preaching about Guru Maharaj, this is when we began preaching about Srila Guru Maharaj in earnest and openly and exclusively. He was attacked for this, brutally, physically, violently attacked. Right? And when the news came to Srila Guru Maharaj and Srila Gurudev, they were so overwhelmed in appreciation of his willingness to sacrifice himself. And they talked of Nityananda Prabhu being, you know, attacked by Jagai and Madhai, and how much grace he would get from this. And it was at this time that he was given the name Seva Vikram. Right? Because Vikram means like valorous, you know, brave. Extraordinarily brave and valorous, not afraid of anything, that type of bravery of the soldier, the fighter. Because then, by the way, Yudhamanyu, what is it, Vikram, like, you know, when Arjuna is saying, with fighters like Yudhamanyu, certainly we will be successful. And Gurumar said, Seva Vikram, that became his title, Yudhamanyu Prabhu, Seva Vikram. And we used to think like that. When we have Yudhamanyu, then of course we'll be successful. When you have the backing of a devotee like that, then with greater sureness, certainty, you can proceed. Because you know you've got a super fighter on your team and backing you. So, from Prabhupada to Guru Maharaj to Srila Gurudev, ever faithful, ever valorous, and a perfect servitor in every way. And even when he left the world, which is on this very day, he is preaching and took a break, like to have a nap or something, before his next preaching engagement. And then someone found him in between preaching engagements. He had left the world. So of course the devotees were overwhelmed with lamentation. But others, we were thinking like, how perfect is that? He's preaching, and you can see the video, preaching perfectly, purely, with great feeling and passion to the people before him, takes a break from that before his next preaching engagement, and then upper world. So, it's my good fortune and the good fortune of some others here who know Yudhamani Prabhu and Jivanaditi, and they're the stalwart members, pillars of the the Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Math and the Western world, right? Beginning, middle, and there is no end to this. Hare Krishna. Maharaj, say a few words about Shiva and Yudhamani Prabhu, if you...
You know, I had fortune to meet Yudhamani Prabhu before he passed away.
Yes.
And I was in SoCal at that time. And it was an extraordinary meeting. I couldn't really understand. But he was like, you know, very humbly approaching me and almost like saying goodbye. Mm. With a thought he's going to preach in China, but that was like goodbye of a bigger... And I remember his eyes was like almost like tears, and he was very, very humble. And I never see somebody who had so much care about service. Mm-hmm. See, somebody could say, oh, he's a very emotional person, but you can say, well, what is his emotions for?
About, yeah.
His emotions about fulfill Gurudev, to do service. He was very much afraid to lose service. And he wants to be, like he wants to be connected. And stay connected. And that's how you can judge a Vaishnava, by his attitude towards service and dedication. And that's where we could see in a great personality behind, you know, a simple person who collects, you know, funds, and you don't see him with big tilak or like big, you know, dress. But as Maharaj mentioned, that functioning as a guru, which means he was very, very transparent and very humble. Like, real guru doesn't make a trip about him, his divinity. He's actually very humbly tried to preach, and almost like referring people to, like, I remember when I met him in China, and I came to China to meet with Jayavati, and he said, like, and after Gurudev, Maharaj, you should take over. I said, maybe that's not my... you know, seva. But I know it was very sensitive for him. If I would say, yes, I'm going to take over, that would be another drama. But but I would say, you know, he was like really, really cares about what's going to happen. And then obviously, you know, his long-service relationship with Janard Maharaj made him kind of like, okay, I work with Janard Maharaj. And I established Janard Maharaj, and you know, Janard Maharaj is a great Vaishnava. He needs a kingdom. Remember, China was never one kingdom at the beginning.
Janard Maharaj was serving Yudhamanyu
right
by doing Guru Seva.
Right, right. But basically, we can see that this is a proper mood. It's not self-establishment. He wants to establish Krishna consciousness, and with respect to Śrīla Junārda Mahārāja, wants him to, you know, connect people with Krishna consciousness, because Junārda Mahārāja is somebody he's fully trust after so many years of service. And from another point, we say, like, the service life is not really something that always pleasant. So people think, oh, service life is like, no, it's like sometimes get hands dirty, go to, you know, sometimes even go to conflict and sometimes fight for certain things, because certain things you need to fight for. And that means actually being able to see what's the most important for you and what's most important for your spiritual life. Otherwise, if somebody wouldn't have that clear attitude, then, you know, you can get lost easy with so many mundane things. So that's one thing. Second thing is, like, today's Shivaratri. And Maharaj told me, oh, today's passage of Yudhamani Prabhu. I remember we went to Navadvip, and with the whole group we came to Ganga. And that very moment, Junārda Mahārāj and Sanatan Didi and Jivana with group of Chinese appear with Yudhamani Prabhu's ashes. And that was exactly time how to, because remember, Guru Mahārāj said, do not bring ashes into the temple. But we were, like, for some reason, it was a little late, because people told me, oh, when are we going to go to Ganga? When are we going to go? I said, wait till 3:30. Then about 3:45, car appear, and we all going to Ganga. So that happened to be a super divine pastime of, like, we didn't know what we're planning to do, actually, but it was like his ashes ceremony. So devotees were dressed to swim. They went to Ganga with Kirtan. Junārda Mahārāja was there, Sanatana, Jivana. And his, like, disposal was divine. It was all arranged from every different point. So as the Christians, they say, we know how you live. We'll see how you live. But really, to consider you are saint or not, we'll see how you're going to die. And so considering that, he passed away on Shivaratri. His, you know, funeral ceremony was incredible inspiration for devotees to participate, to see, to take part. We can say he was an extraordinary person, extraordinary being. And of course, you know, every devotee has his own story, how he came to the feet of Krishna, how he met Guru, what service we did. But we can say one thing is like important for our, I would say, Guru Varga generation, that he was more than just a follower to Govinda Maharaj. He was a very close friend.
Yeah.
He was intimate servant of Srila Govinda Maharaj. I was very impressed when I visited his house. Because you would think, you know, in America, people have a luxury life. But, you know, actually, it wasn't even a house. It was Kevin. He lived
right,
in, like...
It's not a full house.
Yeah, it's like door, small room, bed, and nothing is there. And I know in America, people have tendency towards luxury life, you know, bigger bathroom, bigger living room, more things in the home. But when I would see his house as his wife, and considering how much money he collects for Srila Gurudev and things, I would say, then I was impressed with super vairagya, renunciation, and service attitude. Because little things tell you about people, you know.
Yeah.
So that's another thing which really impressed me. And I thought, well, this person live like sadhu. Like, I have more luxury goods in my room that he has in his house. So that was very impressive, and that shows his inner nature.
One thing you said about his passion and anxiety, one thing about him, Guru Mahārāja once, there's a famous verse that says, Svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahatobayat, a little advancement on this path saves you from the most dangerous type of fear. And Prabhupada said, means like, you know, receding into the animal species after such a great opportunity. That's funny. But Guru Mahārāj took it another way. He said, the most dangerous type of fear for a devotee is that your service is not being accepted. Because remember, they don't care if they go up or down. They want to, like him, is this being accepted? Is this what you want? And he, in this regard, I say, he's the most paranoid person, in a good way, that I ever met. When he would come, he'd have this look, and he'd like shut the door of my room behind me, and he goes, is Maharaj pleased with me? And I'd go, yeah, of course he is. No, I really want to know. Like, just don't tell me that. I need to know that. And he would be so intense about it, right, and earnest, and like, I mean, standing. He couldn't sit down. Like, I got to know. Is he really pleased with what I'm doing? I thought, my God, what kind of person is this? Right. That's the type of devotee he is.
So we can say normally people emotional, we don't praise that. But in this case, we say that's the emotion we want one to awaken in our hearts. Yeah. If we have Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Mati Kriyati Yati Kutopi Labhyate, Atra Laila Mekamulya Ekalam Janma Koti Sukritayana Labhyate. So if you don't have a desire, then this Sukriti, you know, just being around Krishna and, you know, being Vedic follower, it doesn't, like, you have to have a desire. So Mahaprabhu said, whatever you can get this desire, go there. That is Mahaprabhu advice.
Yeah.
So if you get, so today we pray that Yudhamanya Prabhu is like, I know he's with Shruta and Siddhanti Maharaj and Guru. Like, I mean, I don't have any doubt about that. I know there is. I think, just like Socrates said, if after world exists, then I'd rather stay there and hang with great philosophers. So, which means, like, I know he's not like, he's just somewhere in a very good place, hanging with the proper...
In the relativity of the lotus feet of Srila Gurudev.
Right. I think they're in that circle, and I don't have any doubt about that, because I know, we all know about Shruta, Yuda, as much as they fight in their spiritual life, as much as they love themselves, and, you know, beloved Siddhanti Maharaj. So to me, this group of people worshipable... And we know it's less and less of those people are present in this earth. And we have to think of them, remember them as somebody who give us an example, encouragement. And we're so lucky to meet this kind of people in this life, in physical life. So, you know, it's an interesting thing. When Srila Govinda Maharaj came to Russia to open temple, Yuda have to be there.
Yeah.
And, you know, we know he's not like a wealthy person. He's kind of a teacher. You know, he's a very modest salary. I would say, like, he learned how to survive on minimum. Like, I remember when I came to China, I said, oh, why don't you come over? But then I realized, like, he doesn't maybe have the money. I said, oh, I'll buy you a ticket. And I brought him in, and, you know.
Yeah.
So we can understand that he is not just... thinking of service. Also, we know that, you know, he wants to risk himself, constantly risk himself by being a preacher in China, had numerous threats from the government not to do any religion, but that was something that never stopped him. And in other words, he also, I think it gives him a drive.
Yeah.
It gives him a kshetra. It gives him purpose. And I think he brought a number of incredible Chinese young people to Krishna consciousness, and which in connection with our mission and Janardhan Maharaj, and hopefully, you know, we always want him to come here. And he came with a couple of days and stayed with Maharaj, and that kind of like, it was okay to, because it was about China, you know.
Yeah.
Who's going to be the king of China? Who's going to be the preacher of China? But, you know, China has like hundreds of billions of people.
1.6 billion.
Yeah, 1.6 billion. Like, there's enough people in China. Don't worry about that. But, as we say, service. And now then, how do we connect this whole thing with Lord Shiva? Because there's got to be some connection. And what Maharaj said, Aradhanam Sarvisham Vishnu. Shiva is in his own heart as aspiring for the service of Mahaprabhu and Krishna. Specifically when we chant the arati of by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Shiva, Shuka, Narada. Mm-hmm. That means actually Shiva, Shuka, and Narada as a devotional group.
Yeah.
You know, he's deeply in devotion. His devotional connection is very deep. It's like, you know, he might have Ganesh and somebody else, and, you know, we know they're observing Mahaprabhu. But we can say Shiva, Shuka, Narada, which means Bhaktivinoda Thakur clearly showing us who are the greatest devotee, like who wrote Narada, Bhakti
and
Shastra.
It says, Preme Gadgada.
Yes.
Their voices are choked with the emotions of Krishna Prem.
Right. So that is the level of Vaishnavata of Shiva. So he's one of the few exalted devotees. And we know, like, you know, according to Guru Maharaj, na priyat mayaratma atmayonir na shankara na sankarshana na shri na yata chayata bhavan, where technically Krishna say non-Shiva, non-sarkarshan, non, you know, shri, as much as dear to me as you, Uddhav. But this is very interesting. Which aspect of Shiva he's quoting?
Right.
Like, which, like, because we know Shri, it's the goddess of fortune. We know she's not entering Vrindavan. Shiva and a particular form is not entering Vrindavan. But we know it's like, and Baladev entering as Ananda Manjari into Krishna Lila. So we know this Gopeshwar Mahadev, his entrance, exclusive presence in the Krishna Lila, specifically Rasa Lila, as he's a face control of Rasa Lila, and he's actually examining who's qualified to enter the dance or who should not be entered. And, you know, he, in this case, his snakes are... And remember, the gopis' hair like snakes. But in Shiva case, this gopi, you know, like, if you try to sneak without her, without ticket, you know, she'll show you the real one. So there are things like this, as we can say, charming, beautiful, divine, and... you know, there's today's Mahashivaratri. We also know that he is able to transmit, like when Maharaj said, he's the devotional giver. Not like questions like who he's giving devotion to. The Bhuts are demons or Rakshasas, all very negative beings. Going under his influence, under his association, they transmit in their next lives, they become great Vaishnavas. And even the life they're connected with Lord Shiva, there are great benefits. On their own, they could be like some very horrible persons. In connections with Lord Shiva, they become a saints, they become a servants, no matter positions what they are. That's why, you know, his mercy is unique. And speaking about that, we were talking about Bhuvaneshwar.
Yeah.
You know, there are like five main Shiva in Vrindavan: Gopeshwar, Bhuteshwar, Chakaleshwar, Dhameshwar, etc. There are like in Vrindavan, there are five principal Shiva temples.
Yes.
As well as if you go any place like Varanasi or Prayag or, you know, Uttarakashi or like anywhere, so you'll see always the Shiva next to Vishnu. And mainly worship, very worshipful distance. But sometimes in madness, when he said, can I be greater than you? She said, oh, of course you are. You are will be greater than me. And so you can say like 108 incredible lingams in Bhuvaneshwar. There's also a special Shiva lingam in...
But remember we read that there were 10,000?
Right.
Also,
right. So
108 principal, but
like, right. But even if you go like Pushkar, you'll find.
But just so people know, Bhuvaneshwar means Shiva. The Bhuvan, the Lord of the World. It's the name of Shiva, Bhuvan. Now we say Bhuvaneshwar, but it was like Bhuvana, Ishwara, Bhuvaneshwar.
Yeah. So there are many great places of Lord Shiva. And even in Abkhazia, where
Jagannath wanted him to have that place next to Puri.
Yes. But also, it's an interesting way. In Abkhazia, we discovered several natural caves of Lord Shiva, where a huge cave with open air and rivers streaming on lingam. There's actually three lingams in like Yoni Kunda. And I people thought it's joke, Even Tilak is there. But when Madhusudan Maharaj went there and some other people, they were shocked. And there are few others. Yeah. And you know what? The name of Shankararanya Waterfall. I asked, what's the name? Why? What, Shankar? They said, oh, Shankararanya, long time. Sharkaransky Waterfall. That's it. Shankararanya. So that's...
Remember, that's the sannyas name of Vishwarup.
Right, so Shankararanya Waterfall. And so then we can easily understand sometimes Shiva naturally manifests in nature. And because the nature manifests through him, so there are many natural manifested Shiva lingams, and actually all over the earth. It's just in India, people would find them, and you know other places, like I'm sure Shiva, like we see in the caves, there was like a big lingam that they worship here. Not so far away. And Thai people also know Lord Shiva. Yeah. And Lord Shiva is very famous, including China.
Yeah.
And, you know, in different parts of China. And of course, previously, I was very impressed with Cambodia, where you go to the river and they carve thousands of Shiva lingams in the river. Mm. So that this water giving, you know, his Ashutosh, normally the way they worship him in India, they put lingam and they put a little water pot and make a little hole that pim, 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 by one drop of water it cups giving to him. So his Ashutosh is very simple.
And bale leaves.
Yes, he's
bale
very...
Bale fruit and bale, like Tulsi for Vishnu, the bale leaf
right.
for Shiva.
So he's very easy to satisfy, but when you would say, what would be a boon that you would ask him? Because remember, the demons are asking him some crazy things. Make me a finger by which touch your head I can
explode. So very rarely someone comes asking for devotion.
Right.
But he can give it.
Right. Yeah. So that is our prey today.
And so can Parvati.
Our prey today is to aspire for devotion. And we know that he's actually able to give devotion to
service to the Vaishnavas.
And that's why Srila Govinda Maharaj, Yudhamanya Prabhu, and you know, some other devotees at our mission, like Rohini Shakti, they have some natural connections with Lord Shiva. You can understand appreciation, inner feeling. And so we can say Lord Shiva always been saving us in so many ways. So, and Gurudev, when he had...
Remember, Mahaprabhu says he comes down by the calls of Advaita.
Right.
That's why I came down in this world.
Right.
And no one is as dear to me as my Advaita. There's Nityananda, but special.
Right.
And we're told, Mahavishnu avatar. But it's also mentioned that he's Sadashiva.
Right. And how, I don't know if Guru Maharaj explained this or someone, when Vishnu look at Krishna, he's observed and charmed by Krishna's pastimes. When Vishnu looking at Maya, his glimpse become lingam. He's like
Shambhu.
Shambhu. And that aspect of Harihara, which we have in Navadvip, where half Vishnu, half Shiv, is depending where he pointing his attention. If he's pointing his attention towards material nature, that aspect becomes Shiva. If he's pointing his attention towards Vaikuntha, it's Lakshmi Narayan, Krishna, and other pastimes. And so we can understand he's got unique position. That's why you can't really separate. It's like many Puranas said, you can't really separate Vishnu from Shiv. But then people say, well, why some people worship Vishnu, some people worship Shiv? And what we can say is like, what is your intention? See, it's not basically who is. It's like, what is your vision for that? Are you approaching him as a devotion? Because even though Radharani is also embodiments of devotion.
Right. Are you approaching devatas
to
get something for yourself or to get devotion?
Right.
Because gopis worship devatas and others do.
Right.
But what is their target?
Right. So that's the difference. That's why... It says for us, we should not take Shiva Prasadam in general, because people are misconceive this offering.
Yeah.
But you know, when we do go to Gopeshwar, Bhuteshwar, important places, Vrindavan, mm-hmm. Dhameshwar, we pray to Lord Shiva to reveal us the holy place, to reveal us the Dham, to give us the blessings. And you know, that kind of worship is that's what established.
I remember when the Devas and the Asuras were in trouble after they finally got the churning going on the Kheersagar, separation takes place, the poison is separating, but in oceanic proportion, and this is going to ruin everything. Then who comes to save the day? Mahadev Shiva. He, you know, drinks that ocean. It's like a palm full for him. What is the end result? Nilkanta. His neck becomes, you know, beautiful, like peacock blue. That beautiful blue peacock color.
So anyway, it was an interesting thing. One night we were in Navadvip, and people start chanting kirtan. And I like opened door, I said, what's going on? Come on, guys. And they told me, like, come on, it's Shivaratri. And then I see like Mangal Maharaj, Shashi Sumo, a few other crazy devotees, they chant all night. So today some of the enthusiasts, they would stay all night and chant glories of Lord Shiva. And I don't know if we should chant something.
I think we should chant what we normally chant and play it safe. All right, then that would be nice.
And he gets all of Giriraj Prasadam, Loka. All Giriraj's Prasadam goes to Gandhar Sarashiva, all garlands and flowers.
Very nice.
So that makes a lot of sense.